Your Bibles are 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We are delighted to join that elite group called Great Grandparents. Hardly seems possible. What's harder for me to accept? Two things. Number one, I'm married to a great-grandmother. And number two, I guess I can get with it being a great-grandfather. But seeing the pictures of our daughter Angela holding her grandchild and realizing Angela's now a grandmother, that gets a little tough. You know, we look at our kids and we still think of them as our kids. She's a grandma. But we're delighted. Thank the Lord. Chapter 13, 2 Corinthians, first six verses. I'm going to read, follow along with me. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time. Being absent, now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. And let's pray. Father, again, we're very thankful for this blessed book, the truths of it. Thankful most of all for the message of salvation that we find in it. And Lord, we are so thankful and grateful that salvation is so easy. Salvation is simply coming to you. Coming to Jesus Christ, accepting him, knowing him, acknowledging our need of him, inviting him into our life. Not in anything we do, in everything you've done, we praise you. Now there are some things we need to see from your word today. There are some truths that we need in our lives and in our hearts. And I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll convey these. And I pray that we would be sensitive to your Holy Spirit today, yielded to him under whatever he wants to do in our hearts and lives today. Save anyone here that's lost. Speak to the heart of every believer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title is Examine Yourselves. Examine yourselves. Paul says there in verse 5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. We have here before us some of the final words of the Apostle Paul written in the second epistle to the Corinthian church. What Paul has written here has been written primarily, well, has been written totally to professed believers. This is an epistle to a church people. He writes to people who have said they are saved and may even outwardly appear to be saved. But it's interesting that here in his final words to them, we find a rather abrupt and somewhat shocking admonition. Paul just suddenly calls upon each of them to examine themselves whether you be in the faith. What Paul is saying here is, search your heart. and examine your life to see if there is evidence of salvation in you. Today, there are many people who, when asked if they're saved, would very, very readily answer in the affirmative. Well, sure, I'm saved. When asked if they have trusted Christ for their salvation, they'll affirm, yes, I have. They'll often say that maybe they went forward in a church service one time and signed a card, or maybe they prayed a prayer at some time. But the fact is this. In reality, in many instances, that person may not really be saved. You see, they may have prayed a prayer or went forward in a church or did something, but their lives display no evidences of their truly being in the faith. They may be in church, they may be religious, but they've never really been born again. That was true in Paul's day. It's true in our day. Listen, just because a person's in church and just because a person says they're a Christian does not mean they've truly come to Christ. And so Paul says, hey, examine yourselves. Take a good hard look at you and your life and see if there is evidence. You know, if you examine something, you're looking for evidence. See if there's some evidence that you truly have been saved. Now that admonition that we read there is that each of us would examine ourselves as well. We are to scrutinize ourselves, looking for solid evidences that we truly have come to Christ. And so this morning I want to share with you from the epistle of 1 John. Go over there if you will, just back in your Bible a little ways towards Revelation. From this book of 1 John, 6 evidences that a person truly has been saved. In 1 John 5, verse 11, I want you to notice something John writes as he comes to the end of his epistle. He says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's look from 1 John at these 6 evidences of salvation. Evidence number 1, the witness of having received Christ. In verse 12 there he says, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In John 1 and verse 12 it says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. You see, salvation is a matter of receiving Jesus Christ. Salvation involves more than knowing about Christ. Many think because they know about Christ intellectually that they're saved. These are folks who would quickly attest to the facts that we would share with them about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the virgin birth. I'm talking about that He's the Messiah. I'm talking about that He died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again on the third day, born of the Virgin Mary, and on we could go. If we said that to these folks, they would say, I agree with every part of that. They're all biblical truths. The fact is this. Before I got saved, I had someone speak to me about salvation and ask me if I believed those very things. And I said, I sure do. He said, well, then you're saved. I was not saved. I believed all those things here. I didn't have Him here. Big difference. Big difference. Somebody has said there's a lot of people who miss heaven by whatever this is, 18 inches, I guess. It's not enough to know about Jesus. We must have this personal relationship. One must make that application of what Jesus has done for us. And we do that when we recognize our sinful condition. I am a sinner. I understand that. The Bible says we've all sinned. I have personally sinned. I'm a sinner. There's a penalty for being a sinner that the Bible spells out very clearly. It's to suffer torment in hell forever. It's to be eternally separated from God. That's the penalty. Now, there's a lot of so-called religionists running around today who say, well, you know, I don't believe hell is a real place and it's just a matter of mind. And some of the names I would call who have said those things would surprise you. But here's the fact. Jesus testified there is a real, literal hell, a place of suffering and torment. And without Christ, that's where people go. That's the penalty for being a sinner. And so we have to understand, I'm a sinner. That penalty is upon me. I deserve to die and go to hell. But we also have to understand that God made provision through the Lord Jesus Christ that we could be saved. And only through Jesus Christ can we be saved. There is no other way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. True salvation requires a decision to receive Christ. Romans chapter 10. Go over there, just a few pages back. Most of you are familiar with these verses. Romans chapter 10. Don't shoot from me. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart the God that raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now watch this. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There must be a believing in the heart. I'm a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. It's hell. I'm believing that in my heart. And Jesus is the only way for me to have salvation. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's what one must do. One must come to that place of acknowledging their sinful condition and their need of Christ, and then they must invite Him into their life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Must be born again. Born in the family of God. It requires a decision. And then thirdly, true salvation is an event that happens at a definite time and a definite place. We've got a great grandchild now. And I don't know what time the other night. You know all the details. 9:29. She just happens to know that. 9:29, Wednesday night. Listen, something happened. Down there in Jacksonville, Florida, in that hospital, at 9:29 on Wednesday night, a new person was born. Kyson Hudson came into existence. Definite time, definite place. It happened. Amen. That's what a birth is all about. A birth happens. And so in order to be saved, we must understand I have been born again. There's been a time in my life when I have accepted Jesus Christ and put my faith in Him. I often tell people, you need a birthday. Now, Sometimes people say, I don't remember the exact date. Does that mean I'm not saved? No. I'm not saying you have to remember the exact day. But you have to remember the occasion. Listen, if you got saved, you'll never forget the occasion. It will be etched in your heart. And so we understand that it's a definite time and place. Everybody has a physical birthday. We need a spiritual birthday. And then we need to examine ourselves. Today, examine yourself. Has there been that time? Do I really have the witness of having received Christ as my Savior? Number one, evidence of salvation. I remember when I got saved. And you know, I found this, when somebody's really saved, they don't have any problem telling you about it. You ask people, were you saved? Oh yeah, I got saved. What'd you get saved? Oh, I was over at such, I was here, I was there. Number two, we have the witness of the Holy Spirit. John, 1 John, back to 1 John. Now remember, John says he wrote these things, listen, that we might know that we have eternal life. We might be sure. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to question. John says, I've written these things so you can examine yourself. And in 5:10 we find this. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. The witness in himself. Romans 8 and verse 16. Here's what Paul wrote. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, every saved person is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. By the way, same Holy Spirit. That binds us together. We are all indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Again, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Listen, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not saved. It's that simple. If you are saved, you have the witness of the Holy Spirit in you. He bears witness with our spirit. What's he saying? The Holy Spirit makes his presence known. I don't say this in a braggadocious way, but I know I have the Holy Spirit in me. You know, one of the ways I know? Conviction. Conviction. I don't like conviction. But I thank God for conviction. You say, that don't make sense. No, here's the thing. I have the Holy Spirit in me now. So now when I sin, oh, preacher, you sin? Hey, I still got this stuff. You know, try not to. But here's what I found. Now when I sin, in here, I feel this agony. I feel this like somebody stabbing me. I hear this voice saying, shame on you. That's not how you're supposed to act as a Christian. Guess who that is? Holy Spirit. Huh? He's witnessing to my spirit through conviction. Now, it hurts. If you've ever been under conviction, you know it hurts. We don't like it because it's saying we're wrong. We've done wrong. But I'm thankful because it reassures me I'm saved. If you can sin without any conviction, I wouldn't call myself saved. Now, before I was saved, I could sin without conviction. I could use bad language, I could look at things I shouldn't look at, say things I shouldn't say, go places I couldn't go. No big deal. But boy, after I got saved, all of a sudden, I get this spiritual heartburn. You know what I'm talking about? Now I remember when I went back to work, and boy, the first couple of days back to work, I would go to say things I used to say, the way I used to say them. What's that? Oh, it was the Holy Spirit. You don't talk like that anymore. Amen? The witness of the Spirit in me through conviction. The witness of the Spirit in me through leadership and guidance. Many times praying, oh, I need guidance, Lord. And the Holy Spirit will speak to me and say, here's what you need to do. Here's a direction you need to go. Stay away from that. You ever had that conviction? Man, you were about to do something. The Holy Spirit said, oh, no, 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 don't do that. He's bearing witness with my spirit through strengthening in my trials. Listen, when you're all alone and you're going through it, and all of a sudden there's that comfort in your heart, it's going to be okay. I'm with you. And how about through spiritual discernment? The Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit through spiritual discernment. Go to 2 Corinthians. You're there. Or we're there. Chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Something very interesting Paul wrote there about this. Spiritual discernment. Look at verse 14. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians. What am I looking at? I didn't think that looked right. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. Here's what Paul wrote. Verse 14. For the natural man, that's the unsaved man. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, but he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Listen, the natural man cannot discern truth. The unsaved man cannot discern what's really true. And according to the Word of God, that's why unsaved people say, I tried to read the Bible, I couldn't understand it. You don't have the Holy Spirit. And He gives us the ability to understand spiritual things. That's why when we hear somebody preach something or say something about spiritual things that is off the wall and heresy, right away something in our heart says, uh-uh. No, 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 no. And oftentimes, I like this, we'll bring up a Bible verse that refutes the very thing you just heard. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the witness of the Spirit in Him. You're sitting there saying, that never happens to me. Better examine yourself whether you're in the faith. Oh, I prayed a prayer one time. Yeah, but did you get saved? Did you really want Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life? Did you really open the door to your heart and surrender to Him and repent? Wow. Well, we better move on. We have the witness of having received Christ, the witness of the Holy Spirit, and then we have the witness of a changed life. 1 John chapter 2. John says this. Verse 29. If ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, all things are become new. Romans chapter 6, in the first four verses, Paul's writing there about forsaking our sin, and then he says we're to walk in newness of life. A truly saved person, listen to me, must display a changed life. Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. James said, faith without works is dead. We don't work to be saved, but we work because we're saved. And that involves a changed life. A change in that when a person comes to Christ, they will deal with their sin issues. I do not hold with the people we call Lordship Salvation people. People who say in order to be saved, you've got to turn away from every sin that you're committing. I believe you need to repent of your sin. Repentance is a change of mind which results in a change of actions. Starts with a change of mind. My repentance is a change in my mind about God and who I am and the sinner that I am and the sin that I have. Let me illustrate. When I got saved, I had some sins in my life the night I got saved. I didn't get up the next morning and be cleansed from all those sins and not ever do any one of them ever again. Neither did you. But I woke up the next morning with a different attitude about those sins. I don't brag about this, but for years, you know, my whole family was involved with cigarettes, and so I naturally grew up in a home. That's what everybody did. That's what I did. When I met my wife, she was in a Bible preaching church, said you shouldn't smoke. My attitude then was none of your business. It's my body. I can do whatever I want. Huh? When I got saved, that changed. Now, it took me a little while to deal with that sin, but the whole time my attitude was, this is wrong. Every time I would light one up, this is wrong. Conviction. You know, that takes away a lot of the flavor. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's why you're not enjoying that Budweiser anymore. I better move on. But see, when a person gets saved, they're going to deal with their sin issues. Paul says in Romans 6, what shall we continue in sin? The grace should abound. God forbid. How should we continue in sin? No. We deal with it. We start working on getting that sin out of our life. And then if we're really saved, we're going to walk in newness of life by displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Your demeanor ought to change. You're not the same old person you used to be. And now, according to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, if we have the Spirit, we ought to be displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, all that. I've told you about the testimony of a man from Faith Baptist Church who was known as the meanest man in town. Went to talk to an old bartender that he used to go to the bar at. This guy took me with him soul winning one night, went to the bartender's house. I sat in a room with the bartender. We tried to win him to Christ. We didn't win him, but he said this. He called a man's name. He said, I'm glad you got Jesus and religion and whatever you got. He looked at me. He said, this guy was the meanest man in town. He'd come into the bar, sit on a stool, and if he didn't like the way the guy next to him looked, he'd knock him off the stool. The guy I'm with now is a bus captain trying to reach people for Christ. Has nothing to do with liquor. I mean, you talk about a changed life. And loving people and trying to help people. Displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Number three, if you have the Spirit, you're gonna desire spiritual things in this changed life. In other words, you're going to want to do the things and be the things that the spiritual life would want to do. You're going to want to be in church. You're going to want to read the Bible. You're going to want to have a devotional life. You're going to enjoy Christian music if you're a new creature. Hello. Boy, before I got saved, I didn't particularly want to be in church. I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church. But boy, after I got saved, it wasn't, are we going to church? It was, let's get to church. The Bible. We used to sing a song, dust on the Bible, dust on God's holy word. Listen, if you're saved, there's not going to be dust on your Bible. At least there shouldn't be. You can have a desire to get fed. You're going to want to know what it says. Your prayer closet, your devotional life. On and on we could go. A changed life is going to involve that we're going to want to live by spiritual principles. See, that changed life means I don't live by what I think anymore. I don't live by my rules. I don't live by my opinions. I live by what does the Bible say. We have a lot today, you know, a lot of people are pushing this thing. Well, you know, you just need to be tender and you need to be kind and you need to accept everybody and this homosexual thing, you know, we just need to accept them. Listen, I just follow what the Bible says. God says that kind of thing's wrong, so I just line up with it. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, I'm just trying to follow the Word of God. God says abortion is wrong, God says this is wrong, that's wrong, liquor's wrong, whatever. This gambling crowd we got, you know, America's built an industry on gambling. Shame on us. I'm against it. Why? Because the Bible's against it. Those are things I just don't agree with. Why? Because it's not how I feel about anything anymore. It's what God say. It's His Word. And a truly saved person really wants to walk in newness of life. Truly saved person really does want to have a testimony for the Lord. Many profess to be saved, but their lives bear no evidence of it. You're saved, yeah, but I don't see any evidence here. Examine yourself. You tell me if there's any evidence. Number four, the witness of the love for the brethren. 1 John, go back there. John wrote these things so we might know that we have eternal life. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, that's saved people. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 21. John says, and have we from him that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. All right, we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're saved, you're a part of the family. If we're saved, we're all brethren and sistren. We're one big family. And we are to love one another as family members. How many of you have siblings, brothers and sisters? How many of you never had a fuss with a brother or a sister? Good, because next thing I'm preach online. Hey, we might have a fuss with our brothers or our sisters once in a while, but we love them. You know, when I was growing up, I had four older brothers, and we'd fuss with one another, but don't you fuss with any of us. See, because we love one another. We didn't always agree. There were fusses and feuds and those kind of things every once in a while. But you know, we came back to the place where because we love one another. And that's, we're supposed to love one another as brethren. We're a part of the family. And we should display love for one for another that other people don't have. A part of the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the love for each other. And you know what that means, that we need to love the brethren? You ought to love being around saved people. I'm not much on being around a bunch of unsaved people. I mean, I do it, and I try to be gracious and everything, but it wears out on me real quick. I'm not trying to be unkind. I just, you know, I don't feel comfortable. They say things and do things and want to do things and have attitudes and things. Just not where I am. But you know, I like to be around saved people. We fellowship together and you know, we just, why? We're on the same page. And I enjoy being with God's people. I've said I'm closer to God's people and the church family than I am to my own physical family. See, because I have unsaved loved ones. We have a love one for another. Unsaved people make us uncomfortable, but saved people, we ought to feel real comfortable around them. And understand this. As a saved person, we are enabled by God to love one another, even those who are hard to love. Now, I know none of you are in this boat, but I have run across some believers that make it real hard to love them. Huh? Yeah. Every once in a while this one's tough. Lord, I really need your help here. Huh? And, you know, you can examine yourself, make sure you're not one of them. Amen. But you know, God gives us the ability to even love them. The carnal, the abusive, the antagonistic, the argumentative, the critical. To still love them. Examine yourself. Do you love the brethren? And then there's the witness of the changed desires. John says in chapter 2, he says this, verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. The witness of changed desires. You see, if you're really saved, your desires should have changed. Now, you should have a desire to obey God's commands. Nobody should have to be telling you, you need to do this, you have to do this. No, 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 no. For the really saved person, we ought to have within us that desire. I love the Lord and I want to be obedient to Him. I don't want to fulfill the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. I want to live for Him. A new desire. No more desire for carnal things. And you know, John said something else very interesting. Go back to chapter 2. And let me find where John says it here. Went too far. John chapter 2. I didn't write it down. But he says this, that the person who really loves the Lord keeps his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Are not grievous. You know what that means? We don't chide and we don't buck up when it's keeping God's commandments. They're not grievous to us, they're a joy. We don't do things because we have to, do we do things because we want to? Have you ever asked somebody to do something and they did it but they had a bad attitude? I mean, it was grievous for them to do it. How did you feel? You didn't feel very loved by them, did you? They weren't doing it because they cared for you, and they were doing it because they had to. That's how God feels when we obey His commands with the wrong spirit. His commands shouldn't be grievous. This is what God said. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. Because of what God said. And finally, the witness of God's Word. Now we're back to 5, verses 11 through 13. This is the record that God had given to us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, if you're truly saved, your salvation is based totally upon the truths of God's Word. By grace through faith, not anything you've done, everything He did. You found the revelation of God's grace in His Word. All you had to do was come to Christ and believe on Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. And you accepted that based on God's Word. By the way, there's no salvation apart from God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And God wants those who are saved to know so. Those who are saved, he wants to live with that confidence of our salvation, not to wonder, not to worry. And so he's given us the record in his word from cover to cover. This is the record of God's redemptive plan for mankind. And God reveals how we can have salvation and we can rest in it. And it's where we find salvation. And when one receives the truths of this book and applies the truths of this book and receives Christ, he has the assurance that he has eternal life. Examine yourselves. Listen, my purpose this morning is not to get somebody unsaved, not to make people doubt their salvation, but my purpose is this: to warn you, just like Paul was warning these Corinthians. Examine yourself. Make sure. Because you see, one day, we're all going to die. Yeah? And I believe this with all my heart. There are people who are going to die with a false assurance. Somewhere along the line, they signed a card or prayed a prayer and somebody said, well, you're saved. Listen, the only two people that know whether you're saved or not, the only two entities are you and God. You can sit under the preaching from now until the time you die, and if you die without Christ, you're going to go to hell. We need to be sure. We need to know. Well, how can I know? John just gave you six evidences, six ways, six things that ought to be in a believer's life if you're really a believer. You say, I don't have any of those. You need to come to Christ. Examine yourself. I'm not going to examine you. Examine yourself. Have you been saved? Really saved? Do you have the assurance? Do you know? If not, let's take care of it today. Father, thank you for what John wrote. Thank you for Paul's admonition, warning us that we need to make sure. And thank you for the evidences you've laid out in your word. Evidences of the life of a true believer. Now I pray if there's anyone here today who is not certain that when they die, they'll cross over into that glory land, they'll come to be with Jesus and spend eternity with him, that today they'll settle that issue. They'll come to Christ. They'll get born again and know the joy of salvation. Help every person here this morning to examine themselves, to know for sure, because one day we're going to die, and that will forever settle our eternal destiny. Do in hearts what needs to be done here today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. This morning, God spoke to your heart. This morning, you would be willing to say, I don't know for sure, but I want to know. Would you slip out of your seat and come? We're going to sing a song of invitation in just a minute. When we do that, would you slip out of your seat and come? If you would, I'll meet you right here. I'll shake your hand to put you with a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady, who'd take you to a quiet place over here and help you to discern. Am I saved? Help you to know for sure that you're a child of God. You say, well, I'm just not sure. God wants you to be sure that you might know. Maybe you're saved and you say, well, I have some of those things in my life, some of those evidences, but boy, some of them are pretty weak. I really need to button down here. I need to get some things straightened out. Would you come this morning? Father, bless the invitation, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come? 489. I surrender all. Will you come?
All to Jesus, I surrender.
Will you come today? God speak in your heart. Will you come? Six evidences of salvation. Examine yourself. These are true in my life. And because they're true in my life, I have assurance that I'm in the Lord. These are the traits of a born again child of God. This is the difference Jesus makes in somebody's life. Will you come? Will you come?